Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Does technology make us more alone?
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Yes, yes, it does. Those lonely nights alternating between Bumble and Tinder, and you just keep swiping. You know the feeling? You guys know what I'm talking about. You just keep swiping, right? Right. You do it on Tinder for about 20 minutes. Occasionally, okay, there's a fat girl. I don't know. And you just can't hit.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And it does make you contemplate life as you sit there and you say, well, this is depressing. I'll go check Twitter. And it's just all hatred on there. Go to Facebook. Oh, my grandma had liposuction. That's nice. Yeah, check out this. You go to Instagram, you see all the babes there. Like, man, wouldn't I love to live that life? You think about what it would be like if one of those Instagram models just accidentally swiped right on you for once. Go to Snapchat. Oh, got a new one. New notification. That's from Team Snapchat. Damn it. And happy Easter to you, too.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
So yeah, if you ask me if technology makes people lonely these days, sometimes the only interaction you get is Uber, or Uber Eats. At least you get some human interaction that way.
Just take the point. I don't want it. Just Cody wins. Two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Cody McClure, hour two headlines, collision course right now.
Thanks, John. Bill Belichick says, do not put Khalil Mack in the same class as Lawrence Taylor.
You're welcome.
Thanks. He's not even close. He's not even close. Bill Belichick says, stop comparing people to LT. Lawrence Taylor is the greatest ever. All right, here's the actual quote. I was stalling. Wait a minute. We're talking about Lawrence Taylor now, said Belichick, whose Patriots faced the Bears on Sunday in Chicago. I'm not putting anyone in Lawrence Taylor's class. Put everybody down below that. With a lot of respect to a lot of good players, we're talking about Lawrence Taylor. LT later tweeted what he said. Is Belichick right?
I mean, obviously, Lawrence Taylor is before my time, but the highlight reels that I've watched obviously make it look like, yeah, Belichick is right. And I know everyone gives Lawrence Taylor credit for revolutionizing the game, like, and really making pass rushers feel like the most important thing in the game. Like, you know, he was dominant.
Well, not just dominant, but just the persona of Lawrence Taylor. Like, he's got to be the most feared player that ever played.
Yeah, I would say Belichick probably didn't love the off the field idea of Lawrence Taylor, but he knew that, like, once you were inside the lines, like, he was the best player on the field.
Yeah,
I thought that was surprising though. Was that the only honest answer Bill Belichick's ever given us during a weekly press conference, like, during the season?
Probably.
Like, usually he is very vague and doesn't give anyone any type of even remotely bulletin board material. I mean, I guess I don't know how mad Khalil Mack can be that the headline is Bill Belichick doesn't think you're as good as Lawrence Taylor. Like, I don't know if that could actually make Khalil Mack mad, but I was still surprised to hear Belichick go on a rant like that, which is a rant by his standards. Like, it was just him basically saying, pump the brakes, like, Mack's great. He ain't no LT.
And by rant, you mean Belichick just calmly speaking, you know, Lawrence Taylor's in his own class. I mean, it's Lawrence Taylor. Nobody's on that level.
He said, hold on a second. We're talking about Lawrence Taylor.
Nobody's on that level. It's Lawrence Taylor. Belichick, very soft-spoken individual. Weed became legal in Canada yesterday.
Weed!
And it took one whole hour for someone to get a ticket for driving while smoking weed.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, within an hour after the legalization in Canada Wednesday, Winnipeg police posted a photo of a traffic ticket one of its officers wrote for consuming cannabis in a motor vehicle. The police department posted it on their social media. They said, so this happened early this morning. Just like alcohol, consuming cannabis is legal, and like alcohol, consuming it in your vehicle is not. So the Winnipeg police had to write a ticket for smoking pot while driving. Brett McMurphy reports the Big 12 is getting its own channel on Sirius XM. In addition to the ACC, SEC, and Pac-12, they will now have their own conference channel on the network.
What conference is that?
The Big 12, which has 10
Who
teams.
Who the hell wants to watch anything to do with them?
No, it's a radio channel.
Who the hell wants to listen to anything with them?
People in Oklahoma? When they're not listening to weather coverage of tornadoes?
I do wonder like how the different conferences rate compared to each other, like in terms of media consumption. Like, what's the SEC network's ratings compared to the Big Ten network? Are they comparable? The Big Ten has bigger markets, right? Like New York City and
Philly.
Chicago.
I mean, because we've got, what's our biggest market? Atlanta. Atlanta. I guess now Nashville's like 20-something.
Sure, and I guess that was the point of kind of bringing in Missouri, right, was to get the St. Louis market.
Charlotte is probably a top 15, top 20 market.
Yeah, we don't really have any. I guess we have South Carolina. I was going to say.
Houston?
I know the headquarters are there. I mean, Texas A&M is sort of kind of close to Houston and Dallas and all that.
Do we get to count Houston and Dallas?
I don't know.
I don't know. A couple of baseball headlines here. I want to go through these really fast. Machado was fined for stepping on a first baseman's foot.
As he should be.
And Sale is not ready to pitch in Game 5. Interesting headline
here. Who's pitching for the Red Sox tonight? Do we know? Nah, you don't know. I'll look it up. Never mind. Just keep going.
Just assume I don't know?
You don't know.
No, I don't know. Mississippi State's Ben Howland. Here we go. Nice quote from him. He says Tennessee is the team to beat. Mississippi State coach Ben Howland spoke with the media, of course, yesterday at media basketball day. Nothing against Kentucky, he says, but the Vols, they're the best team in our league going into the season, in my opinion, because of all the experience returning. There's no doubt they're the team to beat in our conference. So Ben Howland, praise for Tennessee.
I've always known Ben Howland was a very smart man. Seems Never gets enough credit as a coach.
Seems to be.
Always knows what he's talking about. Didn't really get a fair shake at UCLA. I mean, he took them to 2 Final Fours.
Yeah. I remember I really wanted him at one point.
Ben Howland is a very sharp man. Wait, you actually wanted Ben Howland?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you're a moron.
I wanted Michael White, too. At Florida, when we hired Tindall, I was hoping we'd hire Michael White.
Me, too.
From Louisiana Tech.
And he's been pretty good at Florida.
Not as good as Rick Barnes, though.
He's been pretty good.
Yeah, he got to the Elite Eight, didn't he?
Yeah. He's been pretty good. And they'll finish in the top four in the SEC. And as I was looking at those recruiting classes, he has the number 3 class in the country right now, I believe. Number 4 class.
Mm-hmm.
Got 2 5-stars coming in. Michael White's been good. Barnes has been good, too. Like, don't get me wrong, but Michael White, solid.
What did you call me? Did you say I was a moron because I wanted Ben Howland?
Yeah, you are.
Didn't you tell me you wanted Will Wade?
Will Wade's a better coach than Ben Howland.
LSU coach Will Wade said Wednesday that he has never done business with Christian Dawkins, who is accused of offering inducements to steer players.
That's right. An honest man.
Oh, yeah. Honest man.
An honest man. An honest man. He would not cheat at LSU. I believe him 100%.
Hmm.
Christian Dawkins.
So you want scandal and drama, and that's what you want here at Tennessee. Will Wade.
I would rather have Will Wade than Ben Howland, yes.
You also wanted the coach who lost to Old Dominion in football. I won't forget that statement.
John Reed
on October 1st, maybe? I don't know, somewhere in there. I would rather have Justin Fuente and Will Wade than Jeremy Pruitt and Rick Barnes. It's on tape.
Do we not have Cody on tape saying he would take Butch Jones over like 25 coaches or something like that?
He said there's only like 8 coaches he would take over Butch Jones last year.
Deshaun Watson reportedly played with a partially collapsed lung.
Oh, Jesus.
Taking hits at an alarmingly high rate. That seems dangerous. The Texans quarterback is on pace to be sacked a historic number of times this season.
Yeah, man. His offensive linemen have been the worst in the league. His tackles are abysmal.
Man, last week he suffered a cracked rib, a bruised lung, and partially collapsed lung. Good Lord.
Houston tackle Martinez Rankin has allowed 27 pressures this season. That is the second most in the NFL.
That's the guy that played at Mississippi State.
Right. Is either right tackle or left tackle. Either way, Martinez Rankin has allowed the second most pressure in the NFL this season with 27.
Doesn't seem like he'll be in the league much longer.
Houston tackle Julian Davenport has allowed the most pressures in the NFL this season at 32.
Yeah.
So either the right tackle or the left tackle is giving up the second most, and the other one's giving up the most.
Mm-mm-mm.
It came a combined 59 pressures.
Goodness.
Their tackles stink. Their tackles are abysmal. And you thought you had a franchise quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and how do you repay him for being so good? You let him come up with an ACL injury, and you have the worst tackle duo in the NFL by far. Seems really smart, Bill O'Brien. Great job.
Broncos elite legendary pass rusher Von Miller says they're going to kick the Cardinals' ass tonight. That's exactly what he said. I wouldn't say it's a must-win, Von Miller noted, but we're going to kick their ass. So Von Miller says the Broncos will have no trouble with the Cardinals tonight. Make sure you put that in there. We're going to kick their ass. He keeps saying it. They're going to get our best this week. Last week was a tough week. Thursday night, prime time, they're going to get the Broncos' best.
All right. I'm convinced. Enough. That's enough for me. Lock it down. Take the Broncos.
If Von Miller says it, it's bound to happen.
They're going to kick their ass. All right.
He said it twice.
He reiterated it. I appreciate a good reiteration.
He said, make sure you put that in there in the article. We are going to kick their ass.
All right.
NFL owners are reportedly worried about the Chargers in L.A.
Yeah, you think?
Team's revenue projection.
What made you think that it wasn't going well? The fact that they're in a 20,000-seat stadium? Or the fact that they only sell about 2,000 of those tickets to actual Chargers fans?
Which is worse? The Chargers have reportedly revised their revenue projections from.
I saw the stat. This is mind blowing.
From around $400 million to $150 million.
That's a pretty steep drop off.
That is a $250 million decrease.
That's pretty steep. That's pretty steep.
Owners are worried about the Chargers. Imagine being a 6-0 team.
They're not 6-0. That's the Rams.
Yeah, no, they're 4-2. But imagine being in the same town as the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Rams have done – well, I mean, it's a little bit different because the Rams actually get to play in L.A. and they make the Chargers go play, like, in Carson City. But the Rams have stars, and the Rams got there first. We wanted to ease Los Angeles back into football. And next thing they knew, they had two teams they had to root for. Just seems a little extreme.
It's a good time for L.A. sports. Dodgers, Lakers, Rams.
Yep.
Everybody but the Chargers, like, doing pretty well.
And the Chargers are good.
Is the soccer team, the Galaxy or whatever, they're probably good. The Kings, what do? Is that hockey? They're not good. But the three big sports. Pretty good teams.
Mm-hmm. Game more headlines?
They can wait. Unless you want one more.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. On the cover of ESPN's football. College football coverage right now. A picture of the deceased, Butch Jones. The article isn't about him per se. It's more about Saban's school for reject coaches. Do we think this is going to be a big storyline in this game, like on TV?
Oh, yeah. They're going to mention it a couple times.
As intern Andrew points out, it's on the list of their top headlines as well. Ex-Vols coach Jones, the travel as analyst for Todd. Has this been covered like in college football shows and radio shows and stuff? Has this been talked about a lot? I mean, I guess would it be a big news if Hugh Freeze had joined Ole Miss's staff and he went back to play, or joined Alabama staff, excuse me, and went back to play Ole Miss? Like, I feel like that would have been a story, right?
Yeah, because Hugh Freeze had legitimate success and was a good coach.
Either way, though, like, the success aside or not, although, yeah, I guess, like, with a scandal.
I mean, it's a former Tennessee head coach. So, like, his return back, albeit as an offensive analyst or intern or whatever you want to call him, it's a story. His family's still here, you know. I mean, they'll put it up on the TV a couple times.
Nick Saban said, obviously, Butch knows more about the personnel.
Said he works hard.
I mean, I think he does work hard. I've never thought that he was lazy. I thought at times he worked too hard.
No, yeah, he tried as hard as he could. He just wasn't good enough.
The quote is pretty funny, like in a vacuum of, Butch can't coach the players. That's a pretty funny headline.
But he works really hard with our coaches and making sure we're prepared.
Nah, I mean, I feel like Saban's lying here. Like, I gave him the hard-working thing, but when Saban tries to sneak in, the Butch is a very bright guy. That's where I got to throw the flag on you, Saban. That's where I got to throw the flag on you. Did you see where Pruitt said that Alabama's the best team he's ever watched on film?
No. I didn't see that quote, but...
Yeah, they asked him basically if Alabama was the best team ever. He's like, the best I've ever watched. He's like, it's only six games, but yeah, they're the best.
Best team I've ever seen on film. Don't you like that honesty? I mean, I remember the quote the other day where he said, like, they could score 100 points.
Yeah, I mean, he basically said, hey, we don't need to worry about bringing our punt return team. We don't need to practice. We don't need to practice that this week. Nah, don't worry about Marquez. Don't worry about filling punts this week. You're not going to need to really worry about that.
They're going to put touchdowns in the checkerboard.
How is that line holding up? Is it still staying around 28.5, 29?
Yeah, probably. Have we ever felt more outmatched in a single game?
Yeah. Right,
can you think of historically, it's at 29 here.
No, I mean, I thought Tennessee's been just as outmatched in other games as well against Alabama.
You've gone into other Alabama games feeling the same?
Yeah, like this isn't anything different for me.
Okay.
Now, maybe it's just like they've both been senses of helplessness. Like there's been some games, though, you've gone in and you're like, we're not going to be able to move the ball. Like we're not going to be able to score.
Yeah.
Like, at least in this game, I think Tennessee's offense will be able to score.
Maybe twice.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's been games where you're like, they might not actually score 7 points.
Right, right.
And this one, I look and say, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee got to 21 points.
Yeah, like those 2011, 2012, right in there, those defenses that were so good. 2013, even, you really
questioned. I was going to go, like, 2010, because at least, like, in 2011, 2012, you had Bray, and you thought, well, maybe we could score some points. At that point, you just couldn't stop anybody. Like 2013, you didn't think you had much of a chance with Worley. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. At least in the 2012 game, you're like, yeah, we got an offense. Maybe we'll score some points. They'll score 100 points on us, but.
I can't remember how many we scored in that game.
I can't either. But, like, I feel like Tennessee's offense will be able to somewhat move the ball. This is the first time I've felt that Alabama's offense is going to completely do whatever they want. Because that's more of a statement on Alabama's offense than it is Tennessee's defense for me.
Yeah. I mean, it might be the best offense in the history of college football. That could be an exaggeration, but that's how a lot of people feel watching this Bama team right now.
We lost 44-13 in 2012.
Right. There we go. That's three scores, probably, unless we missed an extra point.
I would bet that we missed the extra point.
Probably.
I would say we kicked field goals.
As opposed to hitting two field goals?
I would say we hit the field goals.
So maybe this year, maybe 40 to teens feels pretty good.
Had someone ask me, if you had the option to lock in 42 to 14 with no injuries, do you take that deal or do you try to play it out?
Of course you take that deal.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, intern Andrew, you taking that deal? Intern Andrew says play it out. He's not a coward.
Why?
He doesn't have a mic. You can't ask him follow-ups.
Think we're going to beat him?
No, he doesn't think he's going to beat Alabama.
Then why not take 42-14 with no injuries?
I mean, look, I think I probably would lock it in. You get a cover, you get no injuries, and you score two touchdowns. And you really, maybe the most key, your defense doesn't get completely embarrassed.
Yeah. I mean, that's – we got to be realistic here.
Ben Lee, thumbs up, thumbs down. You lock it in 42-14 with no injuries? Ben Lee, thumbs up.
He got that thumb up now.
We got that thumb up by the end of the episode. Mission accomplished. I mean, there is a part of me that's fine with rolling the dice. So, like, I guess I get intern Andrew's line of thinking. Like, there is an opportunity where Tennessee maybe scores more points or – I mean, I don't know. I don't really feel comfortable saying Tennessee's going to make that game closer. You know what I mean? Because I don't really see a scenario where it's much closer than maybe 24 points. You know what I mean? Like –
You give me no injuries, a cover, and Bama doesn't hang 50. That's a win. That's a good day at the ballpark Saturday. No injuries is the number one thing.
Especially if you can get one of those touchdowns in the first quarter or the first half.
Yeah, give the fans a little something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Ole Miss scored on them first play of the game.
Yeah, and then by the time Ole Miss scored again, they didn't score again.
It was 62-7.
Yeah. They scored first, though.
First play of the game.
And then got 62, hung them. It was a lot like, you know, the Titans scored first on the Patriots in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And then it was like 42-7 by the time they scored again or something like that.
Vaught Hemingway was rocking that first play.
Tennessee scored early on them, you know, in 2016 as well. You got the strip fumble, and it was 14-7, and you thought, okay, here we go.
Is there any chance we could maybe threaten them through the air a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I do, but like, it's going to take another – that's the problem. That's what gets kind of scary is that – like, even – I actually went back and watched the Tennessee-Auburn game yesterday, and even, like, on the throws Garantano was making, man, like, he was taking shots. He got the hell beat out of him in that game. And, like, obviously I think the worst-case scenario is he gets the hell beat out of him against Alabama and gets hurt and misses the South Carolina game.
I wondered if it was possible that this might be the best group of quarterback and receivers as far as where we're at in the season that Bama's seen. But I guess you probably still give that to Ole Miss with Te'amu and those guys there. Metcalf, I can't remember their other receivers.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I know that's what the narrative was going in, and they've scored points against everybody except Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be something to Saban hates Ole Miss because they beat him twice.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss did a lot of talking, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Which is never smart. I mean, I do see a path.
I might be getting them confused with Louisville, though.
I see a path to us covering. Maybe Saban doesn't want to run it up on Pruitt. You know, get your 42 and get out of town.
Well, I mean, that, and we've already talked about, like, Alabama has been susceptible to the backdoor cover, mm-hmm. to giving up points in the fourth quarter, which was unheard of a couple years ago.
Yeah, like, 29 is a pretty good-sized number.
Like, I think Tennessee has the opportunity to move the ball in the air, but, like, at what risk? Like, this feels like that we might get a first half performance against Georgia where it's pretty vanilla and you're not really taking any opportunities and you're not really in that game. You go and get shut out. And then the second half, when you think maybe the defense is a little bit lighter, or hey, we got to try something, then you start throwing. It does feel like if I'm picking like what happens in this game offensively, that's a pretty likely scenario to me, that you are pretty frustrated in the first half.
Is there anything that can happen in this game that will make us come out feeling worse about ourselves?
I mean, outside of injuries. Not really. I mean, I think that people are going to come down off of an emotional high after a big win. Like, I think that's kind of inevitable, and your reality might set in if it gets ugly. But I think – I mean, I think Tyson Helton is the only one who can.
Like, if we get shut out or something?
Yeah, and, like, I mean, against Auburn, even in the second half when you're moving the ball, like, Tennessee was moving the ball against second and 11s and third and 10s. That was a pretty brutal game plan in the second half of we're just going to run and lose some yards on first down, then we'll throw it on second and third. That was pretty abysmal. And like I said, I do think it's very possible that Tyson Helton comes out with a first half against Georgia mentality and the offense takes some real big steps back. And as you're going three and out or you're, you know, stuck in the mud, Alabama scoring on two or three plays.
You know, Alabama is – this will be their eighth straight game. They've been banged up a little bit.
Okay.
I can see us covering.
Yeah, I'm not here expecting a massacre that we all were, you know, leading into the last couple of weeks. Like, I don't think Tennessee's going to win.
I don't think they're going to put 60 on us like they did Ole Miss and Arkansas.
Saw someone making the comparison. Hey, I mean, 2009, I was a pretty heavily favored Alabama team going up against a 3-3 Tennessee team with a first-year coach.
Mm-hmm.
They only won that 12-10. That was on the road. I mean, I would say the difference there is that an Alabama team was kind of built to keep games close and just grind you out. Like that team wasn't built to score 50 points.
And that was at a little bit of a different time in the dynasty, you know?
Sure.
Like that was only year three for them. They were just kind of learning how to be great. Now, it's just a machine that keeps on churning.
The men have no names. They're just numbers on a jersey.
That was their first great team, really, but it was before the machine was completely well-oiled.
I mean, I do think Tyson Helton has the most to lose here outside of injury. Maybe Garantano. Like, can the crowd turn back on Garantano if he looks awful against Alabama? Will the Garantano naysayers come back out? Is it fair to judge performance based on this game, like of player performance? Because it does feel like anybody who's realistic is going to say, like, Tennessee's outmatched physically. As much as we love Pruitt right now, like, they're still outmatched schematically, pretty significantly, too.
This is a team that would be a double-digit favorite against Clemson, Ohio State,
Georgia. Anybody in the country.
Like, I mean, I don't know that we can really expect anything in this game. Let's just get out without getting hurt. I mean, yeah, that's a good strategy.
Would that bother you?
What?
I think that would bother me if the game plan was just get out of here without getting hurt.
I don't think that would bother me at all.
Like with how aggressive Jeremy Pruitt's been this year, if he comes out to this week and is conservative, I think that would bother me.
It wouldn't bother me.
I'm while the game is still quote unquote in the balance, I do want Jeremy Pruitt to remain aggressive. Fourth and shorts, go for them. What do you have to lose?
Well,
onside kicks, fake punts, like be aggressive. Pull out all the stops while the game's competitive. See if you can extend it into the second half of true moral victory. Like if Tennessee's even somewhat competitive in the second half, that's a huge sign. Like that's a huge positive. I don't know what the recruiting list is like for this visit, or for this the recruiting visit list is like for this game. I would imagine Tennessee's got some good guys coming in.
Isn't Tua's younger brother coming in for this game?
Yeah, but he's
Talia
just
or whatever.
Is he? He's not coming like as a Tennessee official visitor, is he?
No, he's just coming like to watch. That's at least what Trey said on Twitter yesterday. Is he was coming to watch his brother play?
Yeah, Trey's been pretty plugged in with the Tagovailoa's, and he said that he was going to be in attendance but was just basically coming with his family.
Well, he keeps saying there's a chance that guy could come to Tennessee. So,
well, yeah, sure, but I don't think he's like an official visitor, like
right,
going to be
right.
taking the Tennessee tour and but, in the stands and all that.
But just to come see us get beat down by Alabama seems bad.
I mean, he's coming to watch his brother.
Yeah, but his brother,
I mean
it's not going to help his – I'd love to go play for this school that my brother is completely shredding through the air.
No, but I mean, like, being inside for a big game, and, like, I do think the crowd's going to be excited for at least the first quarter.
I know it's a totally different thing, but, like,
first play?
Like, didn't Butch have like 20 or 30 recruits in for one of the Georgia games that we just got absolutely like hosed in?
Probably.
I mean, like, and they ended up still committing here or something?
Yeah. Like, we had a pretty good, like,
hosed in a game against Georgia.
Well, not necessarily hosed, but, like, we, like, still lost and, like, didn't look great.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the 41-0.
Are you talking about, like, the 13 game? Or?
Yeah, I mean, like, I just remember, like,
we beat them at home in 15, and, like, we lost that close one in 13. But as a recruit in 2013, I could be in the stadium for that and think, yeah, they lost, but, man, that was fun. That crowd was great. And, I mean, because 2013 Georgia was one of the best atmospheres I've ever been a part of, especially that second half. And then 2015, you beat them. Now, if there were a bunch of recruits here for 2017,
that'd be bad.
And saw that 41-0 beatdown, like, God. I can't imagine many smart, good players committed to Tennessee after that.
Yeah.
So I don't know which one you're talking about.
Well, I was thinking of like the 13 game because like I remember like there was all sorts of reports like they've got tons of recruits coming in.
Oh yeah, but
and
I
then
mean,
like we still like landed a few of them after we lost.
I don't think Tennessee has to beat Alabama for it to be successful. Like if Tennessee plays Alabama close and you get a good atmosphere, like I think that does wonders for recruiting. Like you don't have to win. Man. Like that 2013 Georgia was surprising. You were, you know, Georgia was pretty good that year. You were underdogs and you battled back. And like I said, after that, Jalen Reese may have been blocked punt. Like that was maybe the loudest I'd heard Neyland Stadium in a long time, and like maybe only comparable to you know, Josh Malone taking that slant against Florida, and that's it, really, to me. Like, maybe Oklahoma, but there's not like one play that jumps out to me against Oklahoma as like a peak cheer. Like, when Tennessee blocked that punt against Georgia, that was an out-of-body experience. So, like, yeah, a commit could be in there and be like, yeah, I want to play here. Win or lose. I mean, an overtime loss isn't detrimental. And if Tennessee is even somewhat competitive against Alabama, I think that's a net plus.
Man, can you imagine how good it would feel Saturday if we were playing Alabama and went into the fourth quarter down 21?
I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up.
I mean, it would feel good. It would feel pretty good, actually. Like, what's the score in the 21-point game?
42-21.
Do we have the ball?
Yeah. That's what dreams are made of right there.
I'm actually excited for that opportunity. I think Tennessee having a chance to cut it to a 2-touchdown game in the fourth quarter would feel like a pretty big win.
Man, what if we're only down 2 scores? That seems unrealistic.
That's nonsense. And you should know better.
Probably.
I mean, a guy could dream. Bentley, you got your this or that topics ready to go? What are they? Let's play that next. Give me the this or that topics.
All right. Would you rather have free chips and salsa or breadsticks?
Okay.
With marinara, I assume?
Yeah, you get
marinara. You get the marinara.
Okay.
Dark versus clear liquor. And then I kind of had a stipulation of like a 1-year rental type of deal.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes?
Just like now?
Yeah, like I'm not like, well, maybe like when if Aaron's not hurt, you know?
Okay.
But like I didn't want to be like from here going forward because obviously Aaron's kind of tailing down and
sure,
Patrick's
well,
beginning.
Like
where they are right now.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty good by you, Ben Lee. Good job on getting the this or that topics ready. We'll play that next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Davey Hudson.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. This.
That.
This.
That.
This.
That. That.
This.
That.
This.
That.
This.
This. This. This. This.
It's time for the great debate. Give and take. It's time for this or that.
Come on.
You guys ready to kick this off?
Yeah.
You said to go more circusy with it. I'm trying to. We're trying. We're still doing
like
stuff.
It.
Don't laugh at me like that, Cody.
I like it. Go.
Can you do it one more time?
You jerk.
One more time.
No. First off, free chips.
I thought it was great.
No. It's free chips or salsa and breadsticks and marinara. You guys are both on the S list.
What's the topic? Chips and salsa versus breadsticks and marinara?
Yes.
Got to go chips and salsa. Thin, crispy, salty. You can put your own salt on them. Nice salt. And you dip it in the sweet and spicy salsa. The texture of salsa, just getting that tomato to flop over onto the chip. And maybe sometimes you ever do the chip sandwich. You take the two chips and put the salsa in between. Get the good liquefied tomato with some cilantro and onion. And
get all of your hands.
Love a good salsa.
Terrible idea.
Love a good salsa. There's a reason. I don't know if you guys knew this. Salsa is the number one most popular. This is a true fact. You can look it up. Most popular condiment in the world. Because everybody from Guatemala to China to Canada to Anchorage to France, everybody loves salsa. It's the number one condiment in the world. And think about breadsticks. Another thing, just another point for chips and salsa.
I'm going to go.
Breadsticks are so heavy.
I'm going to go now.
They're so heavy.
Everyone loves salsa except the people who get cheese dip or guacamole instead. Everyone loves chips and salsa except for everyone who orders other things that actually cost money. Breadsticks are heavy, sure.
But you want salsa's great. Free.
You know what? So are breadsticks. You know what's great about breadsticks? Breadsticks aren't just an appetizer. I went and ate some breadsticks and some, I think I went to a place that served it before some pasta, right? I ate it. One before it got there, I ate a little bit when my salad came, and then when the meal came, the breadsticks were still vital. Once your food gets out, you can might as well throw the chips and salsa off the table. No one's eating chips and salsa once their entree's out there. Not the case with bread. Bread works all the time.
You know why they give you bread? It's so that you won't eat as much of the food. It fills you up on, and it's just bread. It's food that's not all that good. It's just bread. It's heavy.
Why does the restaurant care if you eat the food?
It's so heavy.
We're not talking about an all-you-can-eat buffet. We're talking about with an entree. They want you to leave full, yes, but they don't care how much
buffets.
They don't care about how much food you eat.
Talking about buffets. It's so
heavy. You know
why
they give you all the chips and salsa you want? Because salsa is cheap and gross and disgusting, and they can just keep shoveling it out.
The bread ruins the meal because it's so heavy.
Do you know what they do to the salsa after you leave it off your table and you leave? They take it and they dump it back in the other big salsa container.
They don't do that.
And they reserve it to everyone else. You can't do that with bread.
That's not true. You can do it with the marinara. You do it with the marinara. And chips and salsa is free. Breadsticks are not. You ever been to Pizza Hut and said, give me my free breadsticks? Doesn't happen. They charge you for them.
You ever been to the Olive Garden? Breadsticks free there.
Not at Pizza Hut.
You ever been to Texas Roadhouse? Bread
free there.
They don't
have breadsticks.
Bread. It's the same thing.
You do not count. No, no, no.
It's the same.
You automatically lose the argument.
No, it's bread.
You can't count bread. It's specifically breadsticks and marinara, not rolls and biscuits.
You want
to tell me about the cornbread at Cracker Barrel?
You don't have to have the marinara. That's a great point about breadsticks. You don't need the sauce. The bread's just great by itself.
You just tried to bring Texas Roadhouse rolls into this.
It's the same texture as breadsticks. Go to the gondolier.
Not.
The gondolier's breadsticks are the same as Texas Roadhouse's. Pretty much the same thing.
Ben, was the topic not breadsticks?
It was specifically breadsticks and marinara.
That's completely fine. I don't need the marinara with mine.
I'm going to omit the Texas Roadhouse argument.
I'm just saying bread in general is better. Like, a stick of bread is bread. Like, at its core.
Oh, yeah, that's what I like. Give me a big loaf of Nature's Own and just bite into it at the restaurant.
At its core,
that's what I do.
A breadstick is bread. Whether or not it's in a
bread.
Tube or a stick, yep. Or if it's flat or round, it's bread.
Don't even slice it. I want to bite right into a loaf of bread.
Yeah, what I want is to share
fresh
chips and salsa with this guy. He's getting his crumb
share
from
it.
He's doing a sandwich and dipping his hands in my salsa. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want Mr. Double Dip over here.
Meal.
You get cheese dip anyways.
I love salsa. Dip cheese dip and salsa and put them together. Salsa's versatile as hell.
I got to give the point to Cody on this one. Next up, dark liquor versus clear.
I mean, the clear liquor is the only way to go here. Shout out to Volunteer Vodka. Love Volunteer Vodka. Pick you up a bottle in anywhere in Tennessee. Knoxville, Nashville, Chattanooga. I don't know about West Tennessee. But either way, clear liquor makes you feel better. That is not a debate. Brown liquor makes you more groggy the next day. Brown liquor has more calories. Clear liquor is better for you. It's more natural. Clear is usually better. I mean, that's pretty cut and dry.
We're in the state of Tennessee.
Which is now a vodka state.
The state
Volunteer
of
vodka.
Whiskey. Jack Daniels. Tennessee. The other one that's like Jack Daniels. What is that one?
George Dickel.
George Dickel, Tennessee.
Please don't help him out.
Moonshine.
Please Tennessee be an unbiased whiskey. Judge.
Thank Tennessee you. Whiskey. Have you ever heard the song? That's another great point. George Jones, Chris Stapleton covered it. It was one of the most popular songs in America for several weeks. Tennessee Whiskey. You're as smooth as Tennessee Whiskey. You ever heard it? I'm sure you have. I'm sure it's on your playlist because it's on everybody's playlist. You know what doesn't work? If you change it to vodka. You're as smooth as Tennessee vodka. Just doesn't make sense. Vodka, gin, they all smell bad. Whiskey, bourbon, it's a southern tradition.
So basically your argument is tugging at the heartstrings of Tennessee having a song after it and Tennessee being famous for Jack Daniels. You're not really going into the details. Vodka, versatile. You can mix it with anything. You don't even have to mix it with
Coke.
Soda.
You can't mix it with Coke.
You 100%
can. Oh, that's disgusting.
You
Come
can
on.
Do it. You 100%
Nobody
can.
Does that.
Mix orange juice and whiskey then, tough guy.
It's good. It's good. I've done it.
Is it?
I swear to God, I've done it.
So vodka and Coke is gross, but whiskey and orange juice is good.
If you've never had a whiskey and OJ, I don't know what world you're living in, but it's not one I want to be a part of.
It's clear. It's smoother. I mean, it works for, I don't want to put women in a box, but women like vodka more than whiskey. It works for both sexes.
Not my kind of women. My kind of women like bourbon.
I rest my case.
Bourbon women.
Yeah, I got to get the point to John on this one. We're moving on to Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes on a one-year rental.
A one-year rental? So you get like each quarterback like right now the way that they are?
Yes.
Well, Aaron Rodgers. What's the goal? You get them right
to
now
succeed.
The way they are. The goal is to succeed. So Super Bowl?
Sure.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, go look at the numbers. Look at the stats. Look what Aaron Rodgers has done in his career. We've said it 1,000 times on the show, maybe the most talented quarterback that's ever played the game all around. And you talk about a guy in the clutch? In the clutch, he's better than Tom Brady. He's better than Tom Brady on game-winning drives. And you're going to take a first-year guy out of Kansas City over Aaron Rodgers to win a Super Bowl? No, thanks.
You told me to look at the numbers. Let's look at them. Aaron Rodgers, 12 touchdowns.
Career numbers.
We're looking for 1 year.
Career numbers.
We're looking for 1 year. Patrick Mahomes, 18 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers, 12. Aaron Rodgers, 61% completion.
Aaron Rodgers has been
Patrick
banged
Mahomes,
up. He's been banged up.
63.7%. That's what happens when you're 35. All of a sudden, that body starts feeling a little bit worse. Let's look at some more numbers, can we? Aaron Rodgers, over $30 million a year. Patrick Mahomes, 6.
We're not talking money here. We're not talking money.
I'm building a football team.
Patrick Mahomes is going to get paid eventually. You know you're going to have to pay him.
He's 100% going to get paid eventually. Yeah, he is. But right now, he's a damn bargain. Aaron Rodgers is great. I don't want to put down Aaron Rodgers. He's fantastic. Patrick Mahomes right now, I don't think anyone can argue, more athletic.
Okay, that's all cute. That's all cute.
Patrick
Mahomes? You got to go win a Super Bowl. Who do you want driving the field?
Well, I don't know. Aaron Rodgers done it once out of 10 years. Patrick Mahomes has had zero shots.
Aaron Rodgers has had bad defenses. Kansas City has had great defense.
Kansas City's defense is trash this year, and they're 5-1.
The Packers will get there. They'll get
Patrick
there.
Patrick Mahomes.
Who would you rather have
driving
the field to win a Super Bowl?
Patrick Mahomes.
No, you wouldn't. You're lying.
He has a stronger arm. He's more athletic. He's cheaper. He doesn't have a career of kind of
Aaron
underachieving
Rodgers
in the playoffs.
Has more game-winning drives than anyone. He hasn't won the playoffs because his defenses are trash. His defenses are trash. When the Chiefs get to the playoffs this year and their defense is trash, they're going to get beat because they're going to have to play Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Win. You're making things up.
No, I'm not.
We haven't seen Patrick Mahomes fell in the playoffs. We don't
Patrick
know that.
Patrick Mahomes is a rookie.
I've seen Aaron Rodgers fell in the playoffs.
He's a rookie quarterback.
He's in a second
versus
year.
Aaron Rodgers. Ben, who is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback for? The Green Bay Packers. The greatest team of all time. The greatest franchise. My favorite team. Love the Packers.
I hope Ben is smart enough to see the blatant attempt to tug at your heartstrings. I just think at this point, Ben, the numbers all say Mahomes more touchdowns. Higher completion percentage.
Forget the
better,
numbers.
Better
numbers,
quarterback
blah,
rating.
Blah, 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 blah. Number.
25% of the salary. Like, it's pretty cut and
25%,
dry.
69% completion. Ben, who's going to win you a Super Bowl on a game-winning drive? Rookie-ass Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Mother Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is battling his coach head-to-head. Like, he's kind of a diva when it comes to that. He's got the off the field. I mean, he's got the celebrity girlfriends. First, it's...
Danica Patrick is a celebrity in what world?
In every sense of...
She's a retired NASCAR driver.
In every sense of the word, Danica Patrick is a celebrity.
Patrick Mahomes will have one soon.
Olivia Munn, also a celebrity. I just... My guy's young. He's hungry. I mean, he doesn't have a Super Bowl yet. He's hungry to get one. I'll take that guy.
He can be hungry all he wants. He's still not Aaron Rodgers. He's not getting a Super Bowl because the Chiefs are going to lose to the Patriots.
He's better right now.
You know, Cody, I was leaning your way a little bit until you had that cheap tug at the heartstrings trying to get me to just side with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers as I am a fan. So I have to give the point to John here with the pure numbers. Straightforward facts.
The pure numbers that mean nothing in an intangible situation.
More touchdowns, better quarterback rating, cheaper on the salary, more athletic. Ben, I really want to applaud you.
Another fun fact about John is turned that he thinks Davy Hudson is the best producer at the station.
Turned his back on he was able to say, look, I love Aaron Rodgers, he's my favorite player, but the argument was pretty weak from Cody. Like, it's not your fault that you had turned your back on Aaron Rodgers, it's Cody's. He didn't even mention like how great Rodgers' numbers are, you know, with pretty terrible receivers compared to Patrick Mahomes having like an offensive innovator. Like there was wiggle room there that he could have been like, yeah, those numbers with Mike McCarthy are a hell of a lot more impressive than those numbers with Andy Reid and Tyreek Hill. But like he didn't do that. Maybe he could have won you over.
Probably could have gone back.
Yeah,
I can understand you winning clear liquor, but in no world would anyone take Patrick Mahomes over Aaron Rodgers, and you're lying if you say otherwise.
In this world, two people just did.
Yeah. You didn't present the case. You didn't make – that's how bad you argued that point is you made Aaron Rodgers seem undesirable.
I mean, you could have even gone back to when he was, like, a rookie or second year and looked at his numbers then.
Really, really poor effort. I really feel like that should have been a sweep because breadsticks are also better.
I thought it was an easy argument.
Than chips
I didn't
and
think I needed to put a lot of work in. Basically, you just ask yourself who's realistically going to win you a Super Bowl, and that should tell you everything you need to know.
I mean, you're acting like Rodgers is a staple in the Super Bowl. The guy's made.
He's got a Super Bowl.
The guy's made one, right?
His defense
He's been there once.
He hasn't had weapons.
He's been there once in 10 years.
Yeah, he's still the greatest quarterback playing the game. How many times has Patrick Mahomes been there in 10 years?
He's yet to fail.
What was Patrick Mahomes doing when Rodgers was in the Super Bowl? Doodling?
Probably
doodling in junior high school?
Probably playing baseball and running around like a madman.
Yeah, that's the guy I want on my team.
That also means that Aaron Rodgers is old.
Oh, so.
The fact that his competition was, you know, in junior high.
Oh.
That's, kind of proving my point. I'll take the 23-year-old over the 35-year-old.
Well, that's pretty dumb.
Could have even gone with some maturity.
I'll take the Super Bowl. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl this year?
No, they need to get a bit. Well, I want to say that I want to see Barry in Houston first. If Barry and Houston come back and the Chiefs defense goes from really bad to just average, then yeah, I do.
If you subbed in Aaron Rodgers for Patrick Mahomes, that team wins the Super Bowl this year easily.
No, I think it would be a lot of the same problems Rodgers had with having no defense. Like,
but the best quarterback in the game.
He's the best quarterback of the game in Green Bay and still has one Super Bowl.
Green Bay doesn't have the roster Kansas City has.
How do you figure?
They don't have the weapons. They don't have the defense.
Tyreek Hill. He has over his career.
That would have been nice to hear a few minutes ago.
I mean,
you should know, Ben, you're a Packers fan.
Like, we're not going to act like a couple years ago, Rodgers didn't have JerMichael Finley and Jordy Nelson and in prime Randall Cobb. Like, he had
Seahawks were really good then.
I mean, that's fine, but he had the roster. That's all I'm saying. Plus, I mean, Rodgers been kind of banged up lately. Can't stay healthy. Starting to get worried about him.
It's not his fault.
If it's not his collarbone, it's his knee.
Because his O-line can't block anybody. They hit him all the damn time.
I know. He needs to be able to get out of the pocket like Patrick Mahomes can. Hour 2 in the books. Hour 3 on deck. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
The days are